For 6 years, Peggy Harris waited to hear what had happened to her husband, Billy, in World War II. He was a pilot in action over France, and through various back office mistakes, they weren't able to tell her where his remains were. There was conflicting information, in fact, as far as whether he was killed in action at all. Ultimately, the family discovered he had been buried with his comrades in Normandy. And what surprised Peggy the most was for 60 years, there's this small town in France, this small French town, Les Ventes. They had been honoring his memory. They had a street named after him and a ceremony, an annual ceremony to honor his memory. Although he was badly wounded and his plane was crippled, he heroically directed his plane into the woods next to the town and ended up saving many lives. Peggy Harris remained unmarried but visits the town on occasion and the gravesite, and they've welcomed her as family, and she even befriended one of the people who actually tried to save her husband's life. The mayor of that town, Bill, said of Billy Harris, "We don't forget." We shouldn't forget that kind of action and that kind of character. Surely we think of the life and sacrifice of Christ, what he's done for us, and we should say to ourselves, you know, we don't forget. But if you're like me, we do forget. It's things like we're doing right here. Sundays are so important because it's valuable to come together and remind ourselves of who Christ is, his life, his sacrifice, his resurrection. And there are things and people in our lives that are worth remembering, but we all too often forget. And when we forget, not only do we dishonor the people, but we lose the lessons and the influence that God wants to do and use in our lives. And we lose the wisdom and the growth that he wants to do in us, all because we forget. We're going to talk about that today in Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, 7 and 8 says, "Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." We need to remember those who have led us into faith, consider their lives, and imitate how they lived. Let me go back and remind us of where we've been. We've been in Hebrews. And the book of Hebrews is written to Jewish believers that are being pressured into going back to their Jewish beliefs, their Jewish roots. They're abandoning their faith and going back to the Jewish laws and temple rites and priestly rituals. The writer here is trying to convince the Christians over and against their former Jewish education. You know, their doctrine, their theology all had to be rethought and realigned. There was the magnificence of the temple service and worship, and that was very appealing over and against the, it was a stark contrast against the simple worship of the Christian faith. The Jewish influence of their social relationships was a problem. Their relatives and neighbors and friends were all steeped in Judaism. There was a disgust, a contempt attached to the cross. This was unacceptable for a righteous person to die on the cross. This did not make sense. The cross was a curse. The tree is a curse. Anyone who is hung on a tree, this just would not be. That was a huge stumbling block for them. And then there was the horrible persecutions that happened, sometimes even to death. And well, obviously, this wouldn't read well on a Christian brochure. And so the writer is helping us to understand and explain faith in Jesus. And so the supremacy of Christ versus the angels and Moses and Aaron, the old covenant of works versus the covenant of faith. The writer presents Jesus as our eternal high priest, the one that leads us behind the veil into his very presence, this personal relationship with him. And through Jesus, God has promised us an eternal kingdom, an eternal life. And then in chapter 11, the writer bolsters the importance of faith by listing those who have lived by faith, Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah. All of these are this huge list of people who have lived faithful lives. And he comes to chapter 12, verse 1, 2, very famous verse. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set out before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And so we're to live by faith. And as we do live by faith, there are certain things that we're supposed to do. And these are the things that the Pastor Duane has been teaching us in chapter 13, love one another, practice hospitality, remember the ill-treated, honor marriage, live free from the love of money and free from the fear of sin and death. And so we pick up in our verse today, Hebrews 13, 7 and 8. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God, consider the outcome of their life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Greek word for remember is an imperative verb. It's a command, meaning remember. But it also means to keep in mind or think of. In other words, it functions both in the imperative as well as in the infinitive. So you could actually say, keep these people continually in your mind. These are the people who led you to faith in Christ. The words there are who spoke the word of God to you. These were those who long ago passed on to us the scriptures and the stories of Jesus so that we could come to know the gospel. And they taught us through their writing and their preaching. And the context and the timing of this verse, it's very possible that they're talking in particular about the martyrs like Stephen and James, who actually gave their life for their faith. This may be what is meant by the next part of the text where it says, consider the outcome of their life. But the passage also relates to those who are in authority over us in the faith, those who are leading us in our spiritual life. So people like the pastor, or the small group leader, or a family member, a relative, a parent, whoever is leading you in your faith walk, in your faith journey, we are to remember all those who have led and continue to lead us in faith. We are to consider their strength and courage as they live and finish well. And the Greek word ekbasin is translated outcome here and also means successful endurance. We consider the way they endured the ebbs and flows of this life with all of its difficulties and trials. We are to consider how they walked by faith and persevered, even some of them, even to death. Then the writer calls us to imitate their faith. We are to practice it, emulate it. And then the writer anchors this statement about faith in that great theological truth that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our hope and foundation will never change. This is what the writer in the entire letter is doing. He's confirming through this letter that we can count on, trust in, die for our faith in Christ. So we remember those who have led us into faith. We consider their lives of faith and we imitate their faith.
So a couple weeks ago, Pastor Dwayne shared with us three letters. In his first letter, he called it the letter to the onlookers. It was written to everybody in the room, anybody who found themselves in close proximity to a marriage. And in this letter, he asked many questions about what we're doing in our lives to honor the marriages around us. As Pastor Dwayne was reading this letter, I started thinking to myself, well, there's a lot of marriages around me. What marriages are really in close proximity to my life? And as I began to think about those marriages, my brain kept going, and I began to think about their families, their kids, their friends, their brothers, their sisters. And then it kept going even more, and I began to think about my friends, my families, and all the people I know. And I came to the realization that I know a lot of people, and it can be hard to remember them all. But people at school, people at work, people here in the body, people that work at the places that I hang out, people I know through other people, teachers, administrators, people who are no longer with us, people that I know all throughout Scripture, and all these people that are in my life have had some kind of impact on my life, whether I can see it or not. And it's the same for each and every one of us in here. We have so many people in our lives that are impacting and influencing us, whether we can see it or not. And God has placed each and every one of these people in your life for some reason, and some of those people he's placed there to lead model lives of faith for us. Sometimes we get so caught up in the mess of all these people that we know that it can be difficult for us to pinpoint these lives of faith. But can I be honest this morning, church, and say that if we can't see these lives of faith, we're probably not looking very hard. Francis Chan, a well-known, respected author, speaker, pastor, he wrote in one of his books this short quote saying, "Something is wrong when our lives begin to make sense to unbelievers." And that just, to me, shows how much the lives of faithful believers should stand out to us and to unbelievers, how crazy they are, how nonsensical it may seem to other people, but they stand out. I had a friend of mine talking to me about her freshman year at Palm Beach Atlantic. She had just received Christ the summer before her freshman year, and she was telling me how excited she was to share her faith, how excited she was to just tell people what God had been doing in their lives and say, he could do this in your life too. And she was talking to me and she was saying that every conversation, every time she introduced herself to someone new, she always started by asking them if they knew Christ or if they wanted to know Christ, if they knew what God's love meant for them. And she would lead spiritual conversations to everybody she came in contact with. And this got to the point where on campus she began to be known as Freaky Jesus Girl. And we were laughing about it. I laughed and we were saying that there's better or worse things that you could be known for. I was eating dinner with a friend of mine. We were at Zaza, a Cuban restaurant over in Waterford. Super good, by the way. We were eating. And he paid for my meal. I didn't need him to. I didn't ask him to. He just wanted to do that. And that already stood out to me. Then as we're walking out the restaurant, one of the people that had served us came running over to him, kind of yelling at him, but also appreciating and thanking him at the same time, saying, "Thank you so much for this. I can't take this. I don't want this. I can't accept this from you. I don't want to be in debt to you." And she started crying, and I'm thinking, what is going on? And I found out that he had left a tip, a good chunk of money that ended up being the exact amount that she needed to pay her landlord to stay in her home for that month. And I know this young girl that every time she goes to a store, every time she goes to a restaurant, every time she enters a building and deals with a receptionist, every time she answers a phone and talks with someone, she asks them if they need prayer. Every time, no matter what, she asks them, "Do you need prayer? What can I pray with you?" And then she sits with them and prays for them in their presence. And even if they don't say they need prayer for anything, she prays for them anyway. And there's many more examples of faithful lives that just, you look at them and you're like, wow, that stands out. And these lives, they stand out, and we know when we see them. We just have to be looking for the love that they have for one another, the hospitality they show to the stranger. We have to be looking for their purity and for their freedom from the grip of money. So who is it in our lives personally that have led us in the faith, set examples for us in the faith? For me, many people come to mind real quick, but three that stand out to me the most. And the first of this is Paul. I want to be like Paul. At the start of each of his letters, he humbles himself. Even though he has all kinds of accolades that he could put down, he humbles himself and makes it very clear that he is a servant of God, a slave of the Lord. I want Paul's humility for my life. I want to be like my friend Blake. He lives an incredibly joyful life in the midst of trial, in the midst of a broken home, in the midst of life without a father on earth. I want Blake's joy for my life. I want to be like my dad. My dad desires with all his heart to know God personally more than anybody I know. And he has a passion for knowing and understanding who God is and his character. I want my dad's passion to know God for my life. But what these three people have in common more than that is their faith in God, and that is what I want most. Don't you just want to know and understand and have faith that God is going to take care of you? Even though everything seems like it's going wrong, God will take care of us. I want faith in that. And I'm not going to lie, although I see those lives of faith, in the mess of the world, it can be difficult to remember them. Especially when they're not always there. Paul has never been in my life directly. That's just easy right there. Blake was in my life directly for a while. Now he's going to school in Virginia. And it's scary to think, but in a year, I'll be moving out and my dad won't always be there. So how am I going to remember? What are we doing to remember these lives of faith, these examples for us? And it's the same way that we remember anything. Constant, repetitive reminders, emulation, practice, repetition, all these things, imitation, go into helping us remember these lives of faith. Take a look at this video with me. So this guy, he's a pretty well-known YouTuber. He's an impressionist. And he has many impression videos. And this one I picked because it's one of the only ones where he does a lot of impressions at one time. And he's a good impressionist. He's a pretty good impressionist. But almost every one of his other videos are better impressions. But to get ready for this video, he practiced each impression over and over and over again until he felt like he had each one down pretty well. My favorite, what I thought was most accurate was Shaggy from Scooby-Doo. I thought that was pretty good. Anyway, so he remembered the sound of each character because of how many times he had listened to their voice. And he heard them talk many times over and over again, and he imitated that sound again and again and again until it sounded more and more like the original. But he attempted in this video so many imitations at one time that he began to lose sight of what was most important, and that was the quality of each individual imitation as a whole. In his other videos, when it's just one imitation, he does a really good job, and if you close your eyes, you can hardly tell the difference. In this, there were some that were really good, and then there were others that weren't as good, and we get so caught up in working to be the best at everything we do that we lose sight of the simplicity of what we're called to, and that's to live a life of faith. But it's hard because faith isn't just something you have. Faith is a muscle. It requires practice. It requires exercise. It requires work. And it's important to remember that it's not about how much faith we have, but what our faith is in and how practiced and how exercised our faith is. Is our faith boastful? Is our faith merely a facade for the lack of faith within? Or is our mustard seed faith so practiced and so exercised that it comes to us as natural as the breath in our lungs? That's what the writer of Hebrews is calling us to. To imitate the faith of those leaders that God has sent before us until that it's all that we know how to do. Until that all we can do is be faithful.
So let's make a practice of not forgetting, like the little town of Levante, who never forgot Billy Harris. And let Josh and I challenge you with this thought. In his book, Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis said, "Very often the only way to get equality in reality is to start behaving as if you had it already." So in the spirit of today's lesson, if you want to be a person of faith, find a person of faith, living or dead, and pretend you're them. And I will not be surprised if faith comes. If you can, you've got your little response card here. Make sure you put that in your Bible on the back or whatever you're taking to work or whatever you're thinking of. If you can put it in your pocket and fold it up during the day, during the week, wherever you're going, remember to remember. Who is it that you are remembering? How did they live their life of faith? And how are you imitating them, actively imitating them? Before Pastor Alyssa comes back up, Josh has a spoken word for us.
The church had made its choice of Stephen first with no surprise, full of grace and power and no less wise. Those belonging to the synagogue came at him shrieking, but they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. Standing outside the city gate, he saw and forgave their hate. Stephen offered up his spirit as stones fell upon him. He met his end crying out to God, "Do not hold this sin against them." In Paul, an enemy whom God has made friend, a righteous man discounting all righteousness, thrown to the ground and raised in a moment, a prisoner who set his captors free, a naked man with humility, his garment. Blind and yet helps the world to see, Paul was strong in weakness and joyful in pains, and bound by love, he's freed us of our chains. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. In 1225, a man was born later, inspiring principles of reason, ranked an influential thinker. The Pope gives his praise for what he's shown. I quote, "The church has declared Aquinas' doctrine to be her own. Inspiring principles of faith," as he pleads, "increase our faith and love that we may know the hope and peace which from thy presence flow." As he sought to be a true Christian, John Wesley's greatest desire was to help others do the same. True Christians are marked by holiness, not by achieving sinless perfection, but by having your heart fully fixed on God's name. Sanctification, the hallmark of his movement, as he teaches, the first fruit of justification. In life, doing good and calling us to the same, do all the good you can by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, as long as ever you can. And then there's Francis Chan, an American preacher. He suffered great loss at a young age, losing someone nearly each year. Despite a childhood of death, he understands the gift that is found in every breath. His passion and clarity is an inspiration to seek the kingdom in every situation, currently teaching that scripture is to be lived out and that our greatest fear should not be of failure, but of succeeding at things that don't really count. So, church, remember your leaders sent by God above and imitate their faith that works so sweetly in love.